Good morning. Might pretend I'm at the market in Papua New Guinea, and I'll really raise my voice, and you'll be able to hear me outside and quite a ways away. But it is good to be here. We are here for some medical checkups, and so we appreciate the hospitality, and it is good to be back. I've been to the doctor, I guess, every day. Wednesday, we were here, got in on Tuesday, went Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, yesterday, twice on Friday. I guess I should go by and see him today, make sure he's not lonely, just check up on him or something like that. But we've been to the doctors, and it's been good to be here and get some checkups and things like that. I want to speak this morning on prayer, and you can turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. Our text will be verses 7 through 11. And just give you a little bit of update there in Papua New Guinea. We are in the town of Wau. My wife grew up there in Papua New Guinea. She went to the town of Wau in 1971 with her parents, about 4 years before independence. And then we met at Bible school in Springfield, Missouri, in the United States. She came in. She came back to the States in 1988, and then we met in 1989. And so I was from kind of a remote area there in the middle of the United States. I think the major resource is just space right there. There's not much there. But there's a lot of farming communities and everything like that. And I couldn't really remember having heard of Papua New Guinea before. But once I met her and began to know about Papua New Guinea, the Lord directed my heart in that way. When I was in Bible college, I was praying about going to some countries in South America and was able later to visit down in a couple countries, but God interested me in Papua New Guinea, and the more I became interested, the more God opened the doors. 1989, 1990, 1991 came for our first visit for me coming to visit in 1994, and we went back. I finished graduate school, and then we arrived in the same town where we live now in 1998, and then we moved up to the highlands and lived in Wapramanda. From 1999 until 2010, we came back to help my father-in-law there at the Bible school. So the main ministry is there working at the Bible school teaching. And with that, we have different people out in remote areas that we hike out into or get there however you can to support and help and assist and train and to just be with them in the work of the ministry. There's a lot of good churches going there. And then we also started with a new church plant this last year at a place just outside of Wau. An area called Kaisini. But anyway, it's just outside of Wau. It's with a different language group than most of Wau town towards the other direction. It's with the Biangai people. But anyway, that's where we're at. And we appreciate your prayers for us. We'll try to pop in here once in a while. You never know. It's been, I think, 2 years since we've been back. And so it is good to be back and get some medical checkups done this week. Matthew chapter 7 is our text this morning, verses 7 through 11. And this is just an encouragement today to pray. And to keep on praying, and just to think about that as one of the basic requirements, if you will, as a Christian. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, Jesus speaking here, of course, he says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Let's pray as we begin this morning. Father, thank you again for your words today. Thank you again for the week you've given us. The week ahead and the week past, we thank you. We worship you again on the first day of the week. We thank you again as we read the scriptures for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope that we have. And as our loved ones pass on, Lord, we look forward to that day, whether at the rapture or through death ourselves, we'll be reunited and be with you forever. And so we thank you and we're glad to celebrate that and together again on the first day of the week. Thank you again for your word today. We ask that you bless and put your blessing upon the reading, the preaching, the teaching of your words today, that you would glorify yourself. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I think of prayer. There's a lot of directions, of course, that you can go with prayer. I think of it as a comfort, as an encouragement, as a great resource. There's a scripture I came across this last week or so, if you want to turn back to Psalms, just as an aside maybe or as an introduction. Prayer is a great comfort, a great encouragement, and a great strength. But in Psalm 94 and verse number 19, the psalmist says this for us, and it's just kind of encapsulates the idea of prayer. Psalms 94, verse number 19, he says, "In the multitude of my thoughts," and of course, as we go through life, we have a lot of challenges, and we have a lot of good things and bad things, and we have up times and times that we're down. But the psalmist here says, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." God, your comforts delight my soul. When I spend that time in talking to you, spend that time in praying, spend that time in reading your word, they're a comfort to me, they're a delight to me, it's something that I enjoy, it's something that I treasure, it's something that I can go to, that I can seek, and I can look to for encouragement and for strength. Well, prayer is one of the basic requirements of the Christian life, if you want to think of it that way. On Thursday, I was driving around town, I thought of another verse just as introduction in Mark chapter 12, verse number 28 on down. Very basic requirements of the Christian life, but a challenge to us at all times, I think. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 28. I know you know these scriptures just as a reminder as we get started this morning. It says, "One of the scribes came," he came to Jesus in Mark 12, 28. "And having heard them, as they were reasoning together, and perceiving that he answered them well," he perceived that Jesus, as a teacher, replied well. He did good, and so he decided to take it up a notch, if you will. And so he asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" That was good, but what about this question here? "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And of course, Jesus refers back to Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 4, the Shema. Shema Israel, the Lord, or Adonai, Eloheinu, the Lord our God is one Lord. And the nation of Israel, as far as I know, still repeats that as a call to worship to this day today. And Jesus says basically there, 2 points, we're not going to preach on that today, but love God and love people. And so as we come to God, that's our attitude in prayer, that Lord, I love you, help me to love those around me, I love those around me. And that's a requirement for our basic mission as a Christian. And that's just something the Lord kind of laid on my heart as I was thinking about this message on Thursday. And that's a requirement as a basic mission as a Christian, that we're required to walk in that day by day. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Love God, love those around me. And I don't know about you, but many times if you hold yourself to that exacting, precise standard, you can find ways every day or in every week that you fail in one or probably in both of those so many times. And so prayer to me is a resource to go back and re-examine that again, and to tune up again and to look back again to those things and to ask God for help and ask God for strength and ask God for wisdom and ask God to move some things along and ask God to take care of some things and give those burdens to Him and to look to Him again as that resource to say, Lord, you know, I'm living this life by faith, by grace. And these are the commandments to love you with all my strength, all my heart, all my mind, all my soul. And Lord, many times I fail in that, but you know that, and you know that I love you. And then dealing with others around and interactions with people and how I fail in those things too as well. And maybe don't do my best even. And even sometimes it doesn't seem that my best might be enough. But Lord, help me in that. Stretch me in that. Grow me in that. Help me to walk forward in those things. And so I think as we look at prayer this morning, we can look at it as a resource, as a help. But the main idea is there in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 through 11 that Jesus is teaching about prayer. Jesus is teaching about prayer. It's not a church's idea. It's not some organization or some religion's idea about prayer. But this is Jesus teaching about prayer and telling us how to pray, teaching us about praying. If you look in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, you'll see the same setting. We're going to come back and kind of break that apart in Matthew. But in Luke Just by way of further background, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1 down through verse number 13. Luke 11 and verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray." It's something that we can learn in, that we can grow in, that we can be challenged and to be changed in our Christian life year by year. And so verse number 2, he said unto them, gave them the model prayer, "When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day," or give us day by day, "our daily bread," verse number 4, "and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And he said unto them, verse number 5, as he's teaching them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. I need some food. A friend of mine in his journey has come to me. I have nothing to set before him." In verse number 7, it says, "And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are in bed. I cannot rise and give thee." Verse number 8, "I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend," it's not a request based just upon relationship only, "but because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Of course, that was prior and previous to the day of Pentecost. But Jesus is teaching about prayer here in Matthew chapter 7. I think, first of all, we can think of this teaching, this outline, or this idea as Jesus' call to prayer, that he's called us to talk to God as a disciple. When he taught his disciples there, he encouraged them, or he challenged them to talk to God. Not just one time. There it is, bang, I'm done, I'm saved, I'm born again. But it's an ongoing relationship to come back to God again and again and to talk to him and to share those things, share those burdens, whatever it is, whenever it is, wherever it is, that we would lay those things to God and lay our souls open to God, to talk to God. And so Jesus is calling us to prayer again and again. And that's why we have a Wednesday night prayer time. It's a call to prayer. It's something where the church assembles together. And I remember that tradition back from when I was a child on Wednesday nights, coming, hearing the preaching, the singing, and then, of course, the time for prayer requests and for praying to bring those petitions to God as a reminder that we're called as Christians to prayer. It's one thing that we do. It's an exercise that we take part in, that each of us individually talk to God. We walk with God as we're talking to him. And then secondly, as we look at this, just interpreting this passage, it's a call to prayer. But secondly, I believe it's also a command even further, that Jesus commands us to ask. He commands us to ask. A lot of times maybe with our kids, sometimes we think, wow, will the asking never stop sometimes? We have 5 children. The last 2 are here with us today. The other 3 are in the States. But I remember when they were all little, just, you know, how it is, stair steps going down. It seems like the requests never end. Daddy, when are we going to eat? Where are we going to go? What about this? What about that? And so a lot of times as a parent, it would be something kind of, you'd kind of want to pull your hair out to command them. You need to ask more things. You need to ask more. But this is what Jesus is commanding us here. If you want to learn how to pray, then you need to learn how to do this. He's commanding us to ask, to find out from God, to invite God to be a part of that, to ask him, to invite his counsel or his wisdom into the situation or into our life, or into whatever need that we have. Ask him about it. To seek him, to look for him, to walk through his words, to look through these ideas, this concept, this teaching, this doctrine, whatever it may be, to look through that and to take time maybe over a couple of days or even over years to come back to that subject again and again and again. As you're seeking God's voice on it, you're seeking God's wisdom on it, and you're knocking upon his door. You're asking him, I need to know what you think about this. I need to know what you want to say about this. And so Jesus commands us that as Christians, we must come and ask. We must come and seek him. We must knock. And that, of course, calls us to humility. For me to come and ask somebody for help, that's a hard thing to do. I don't know about you. Now we have GPS and everything on our phones. Sometimes you have one on a car. If you hire a car, you get a rental car. But for me, back in the old days, the 70s, 80s, whatever, we never asked anybody for help. My dad would be lost for years, it seemed like, in a small town somewhere. We wouldn't stop. And I found myself doing the same thing many times. And finally, you'd, of course, pull into the fuel station and eventually ask the attendant there, hey, do you have a map? And they'd pull out a map that was about, 3 meters long, and you'd pull it out there and you'd look over the map and dad's lost again. Well, it's humbling to have to ask. But it denies the truth of the facts and it denies reality when we don't ask God for things, when we don't seek him for things and we don't look to him for the things that we need, because he knows that we need these things and he knows them before we ask him. And of course, Jesus here commands us to come and ask. He commands us to come and seek him. He commands us to knock on his door, on his office, to come to him. And so that calls for humility on our part. Thirdly, as you think about this passage here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, there is a reminder here. There is a reminder here. He reminds us that basically the prayer or the request or the seeking or the knocking is based upon the concept that God is good. God is good. It's different from all of the other false gods of the world. He is different from all of the others. He is living. He is ever living. He's always lived. He lives today. He'll live tomorrow. He's always living. But also he is good. Even though he has these commandments and guidelines for life, but he's provided by grace the payment for the failures of mankind, of the whole world. And God is good. That is his basic nature. And so Jesus reminds us of that. In verse number 11 in the passage in Luke and here also, he says that our basic nature is being evil. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts. And so there's an encouragement to pray based upon the fact of God's character. That God is who he is and that he is good. He is patient. He's willing to hear. He's able to hear. He has the time to hear. You're not going to, like you're on a cell phone, a mobile phone. Sometimes you can't reach the tower because too many people are trying to get on the tower at the same time. And you get a drop signal, a lost signal, or a weak signal. That's not going to happen when you pray to God, because he can listen to everybody all around the world at the same time. And so Jesus commands us and calls us and reminds us, come to God. God is good. He is good. Think of yourself, he says, as he gives an example there. Of the asking and the seeking and the knocking on our earthly level of a relationship of a father and a son. When one would say, hey, Dad, I need something to eat. Instead of taking him somewhere, buying him a sandwich or a hamburger, you're going to hand him a stone off of the ground and you say, hey, take that instead. No, we don't do that. And if our nature being basically evil, there is none good, no, not one, no, none, no, not one. If that is our basic nature, and God's is basically a nature of being good, that he is the standard. He is the benchmark which everything else goes by to determine what is good. If that is God, as Jesus says it is, then we're encouraged to come to him, approach him. Whether we're fearful, whether we're afraid, whether we're distant, whether we're close, whether we're nearby, or whether we're a long ways away, God is there and God is good. How much more, Jesus encourages us, how much more, how much more? And so then the final thing in interpreting this passage, we see Jesus' promises that God gives good things. God gives good things. Just a basic thought. But you think about the whole world and everything. God created it and he finished it and he said it was good. He said it was very good. So every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything good comes from God. And so why wouldn't we seek him? I ask myself many times, why wouldn't I seek him or seek him more or seek him more often to take advantage of that, of whenever, wherever, for whatever, to talk to him about it and say, I have these needs. You've told me to come. You've told me to ask. You've told me to request. You've told me to knock. You've told me to seek. And so here I am. I come and I present this subject or this topic. I present this thing to you. And so I'm seeking you and I'm asking you because I know that only good things come from you. Only good things come from you. So Jesus reminds us of that, that God is good. And then also that God's promises are there, that God gives good things. And another part of that, he promises in the scripture that everyone receives. Everyone receives. Verse number 8, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. That's repeated also in Luke's passage. Everyone. No one's excluded. We may feel many times when we're in line to take care of some business or paperwork or something else. Well, I don't know how my case is going to go. That one went good. This one may not go good. But Jesus gives these promises here. In verse number 8, he says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. I don't know about you, but that encourages me to come more often, or to come and to see him and come and to look to him. Because everyone so doing receives. Everyone receives. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so the promises are there. And Jesus is trying to teach them about prayer. And so to illustrate this, if you think about that, that's the basic interpretation, the idea of it. To illustrate it, we think of these action words that Jesus uses here. He uses some action words. And so these are things that must be done, things that have got to be put into practice. It's not just a theoretical thing. It's not something that you may just write on the whiteboard or the chalkboard and you may think about it and say, well, that's a good idea. But prayer is action. Prayer is actually doing something. Prayer is taking some action. And so Jesus uses these action words here, these active verbs of asking. Of asking. If you are in line for something and you need some information, maybe you're at the airport or somewhere else at a government office and you need some further information, if you just stand there, if you just sit there, I found this out sometimes being a little bit from a backwards place, you're a little bit reticent to go forward and you're maybe a little bit shy and you don't want to go up there and make problems, you don't want to create waves. But if you don't ask, you're not going to get any information. And so Jesus uses these action words, these verbs here. Ask, he says, he commands us. And then that idea of seeking, to look for something, on a constant, continual hunt for it, to research for it, to look into it, to take some time, to go some distance, to go a certain number of kilometers down the road, to find something, whatever it is. Maybe you're looking for a tool or a part for the car or something like that, but you're seeking something, you're looking for something, you're trying to get an education, you're trying to study something out, you're on the hunt for something. And so Jesus encourages us in prayer, Seek for something. Seek him. And then he uses that action word there as an illustration, too, of knocking. When we'd hear that at our door many times, people knock. We have kind of a backdoor clinic. Or we have the five families there at the Bible school this year and their kids. Sometimes people are coming and they're knocking on the door. Or they're tapping on the door. Sometimes there, or sometimes people will just cough from a long ways away. But you know someone is wanting your presence. And so they've taken this effort to come, to see you, to be there, and then to take the action to knock. And so we're encouraged to do that in prayer too as well. And Jesus uses that illustration. As you think of someone standing there, needing some information, maybe they're trying to renew their driver's license, or they're trying to do something else, but we find ourselves many times at a government office, and we're either knocking, or we're calling, or we're online typing it in. But at any rate, we're going forward with some action to find something that we don't have, that we lack, and so we're looking to meet that need. So Jesus uses this illustration there. Also the illustration of a son asking for something. If you have kids that ask you for something, or if you have to ask for something, you think of that as prayer, and that's a good pattern. And so as we apply that today, thirdly, applications of this, what must we do? Number one, we must do something. If we are going to pray, if we are going to be a Christian, we must do something. We can't just learn about it on Sunday, but we have to put it into practice, and we're going to take action with this. We must do something. Like Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit. Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury or poverty or to lack or to want or to greater and greater need. One of my teachers illustrated this to me. I don't know if you ever had to push start a car, but it's always easier to steer a car once you get it rolling a little bit down the road, isn't it? Once you get a car moving, you can steer it a little bit easier if you're having to push start it. If you try to steer the car, especially without power steering or something, and it's not moving, it's not rolling, it's not going anywhere, there's no action, it's hard to direct it. And many times we may need direction from God in our lives, but if we'll at least get started, get moving in some direction or any direction, then God can take that and use circumstances and speaking to us, and He can begin to guide us and to direct us maybe in a different direction. But at least we're already moving in some direction. We're doing something. We are people of action. And so we must do something. A call to prayer is a call to action. To say something. To seek something. To knock somewhere. To talk to someone. And so a call to prayer is a call for action. I think that's one application here. That we have to be active as Christians. And that's our call. And when you think of that and apply that to prayer too as well, it's a call for action. Whether we're talking to God at the stoplight, whether we're down on our knees in the morning, or whether we're sitting in a chair, wherever it may be, wherever, whenever, about whatever. But it is a call to action, to do something. And so Jesus teaches about prayer. He teaches that it is a call to action, to do something. Secondly, when I think about application here, it's a call to admit lack or admit a need. I touched on that a little bit before. Admit a need. A lot of times it's frustrating if we're looking for something, a particular tool. I don't know if you've ever had to look for a tool that you can't find and you're working on something. Where is that wrench or that spanner? I need the 12 or the 14. Where is that screwdriver? Where is that particular set of pliers? Where is that other tape measure that has the correct size, the one that's, if you're just starting a building project, the one that's 100 meters long? Where is that tool? And you're searching and you're looking for that. And every time somebody sees you as you're looking for that, it's kind of, you know, hey, he's not organized. He doesn't know where his tools are. And so there's some humility that goes into that. If you're asking someone, maybe someone borrowed it from you. And you're looking and looking. Where's those scissors? The ones, you know, the good ones for the cloth, not the ones that we cut everything else with, but the ones that cut real well because we only use them for this particular purpose. Where are those scissors? Where is that tool? And so you're seeking for something, and it's humiliating many times to admit that you've lost something, that you're lacking something. And that's the call to prayer. When we lose our keys, oh my goodness, you lose a set of keys. You're looking and looking for those things. You're trying to find them. And people are saying, oh, you lost them. Where did you lose them? Well, if I knew that, I wouldn't be looking for them right now. And keys many times now will cost you $600 or $700, $800 to replace them with a key fob that has an electronic chip in it. So it's nearly $1,000 when you're looking for that key. Or when you're looking for advice. I'd like to do this. I'd like to try this. I'd like to step out in this area. I'd like to go further in education in this. Or I'm looking for a different job. I'm looking for this. When you're looking for advice, you find yourself being called to be a little bit more humble. Or at least I do in my case, it seems like, to sit down and ask someone, hey, I'm thinking about this skill. I'm thinking about learning to fly, or I'm thinking about learning this, or I'm thinking about trying to get a promotion in this area. Can you help me out? So you're humbling yourself, you're sitting down, and you're saying, someone else knows more than I do about this situation or about these circumstances or about this skill. And so the call to prayer is a call to admit lack. It's a call to humble ourselves. Many times people will say, well, I'm not lost. I'm just, you know, temporarily geographically dislocated or something like that. You know, I don't know exactly where I'm at. But when we come to God, it is a call to humility. For after all, He is God and we are who we are. We are who we are. And so we come to God and we ask for that advice. In the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. There is safety. It says in Proverbs 11:14, Proverbs 15:22. And in Proverbs 24:6, we're advised to include God in that council group. As a group of men try to lead a town or a city or a tribal group, there's a group of counselors, the council. And so in your council group in your life, the encouragement to prayer is an encouragement to give a place for God to sit down at the table too and ask Him advice, ask Him wisdom, include Him in that group of counselors. To bring Him in, to open it up to Him, to give Him the authority and the permission to speak into your life and to say something to you. And so you talk to Him and you humble yourself. You admit that lack. You admit that need. And so you are able to have God as one of your advisors there. And you're coming to Him. You're asking Him. You're seeking Him. and you're knocking at his office. I don't know how many times you've knocked at offices, but it was something I guess I'd never expected to do. In so many ways, we have driver's license in two different countries and probably visited 10 different countries. And so you have visas, passports. We have children that were born in the States, children that were born in Papua New Guinea. And there's just all kinds of layers and levels of layers within those things that you have to ask and you have to seek and you have to humble yourself and to admit a certain amount of lack. And all of that can point you to prayer when you look to God and come to God. To not pray is to be prideful. To not pray is to be prideful. And so that's an encouragement that Jesus is giving us here, to be a people of action, be people that are humbling themselves. And then thirdly, as an application, these actions are connected to faith. Why pray if no one's listening? Why pray if God isn't real? Why pray if God isn't there? It's a call to faith. Praying is faith. Prayer is an expression of faith. When we're asked to pray in public, maybe certain situations there in Papua New Guinea, sometimes at the schools or graduations or in a chance to outreach or preach at a market setting, to pray in public is an act of faith, because you're talking to God, you're speaking to God, knowing that you're not just ringing Him up, but someone is on the other end of the line that you're talking to Him. And so just the very act of prayer is going to connect you to faith. You're going to be able to show evidence of your faith by praying privately or publicly, where only God can see or maybe other people can see, but you're going to be showing evidence of your faith. That action is taking place because you believe it is real. You believe it is true. You believe it is needed. You believe it's necessary. And so that action is evidence of faith. As the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. And then prayer also is going to exercise or grow your faith. Prayer will also exercise your faith. It will grow your faith. I think many times running in races, sometimes when we go back to the States, I run in a 15K race. And I couldn't do that today. I don't think I could do that this week, actually. I've not been up with it. But I've been watching people bicycling around and different things. I need to get back in a little more physical exercise. The doctor mentioned that too as well. This, a little bit of exercise wouldn't hurt you on this cholesterol count right here. Okay, thanks. I need that reminder. Have you been exercising? I said, well, not this year. But praying is an exercise that will strengthen our faith. The muscles of our faith or our belief are challenged or are exercised. They're used. It uses faith to be able to pray. And so as we use that faith, then it will grow. And so Jesus is calling upon us to be people of exercising our faith, to use that faith that we have, that we already have within us, that ability that we have, and to exercise that, to use that, to avail ourselves of that, and to not pray, of course, is to not exercise or not exercise that faith. And then the fourth application here, lastly, a specific application maybe here for here at Coastline Baptist Church. Of course, I heard the prayer request today mentioning that you're praying for a pastor, and I believe I've prayed with you at least once, and I will continue to as well. But I came across a scripture, a couple of scriptures maybe as an example or application. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 6. Something just ran across, I think it was yesterday or today maybe. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 6 and verse 8. Samuel, of course, is an older prophet at this time. He's already anointed Saul to be king. And he's reminding them of their history. Just the same way we come to church to remind us of our history, our heritage as believers, as Christians. And so Samuel there in verse number 6, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 6 and verse number 8, says, "And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord." Who was it? "It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt." God did it. And how did he do it? In verse number 8, it says, "When Jacob," or Israel, "was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron." He sent the leaders that they needed at that time to bring them out of Egypt. And you can see that example also in Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, that there was a problem there. They were in Egypt, or not where they were supposed to be, and they were slaves, which is not who they were supposed to be. But the response of Israel in Exodus, as it gives the details of this, that Samuel's just reminding them about, probably about 500 to 600 years before, is that the nation of Israel cried unto God. They prayed to God. They talked with God. And they said, they said to God the situation that they're in. They brought their problem to God. They needed a leader. They needed help. And so this response of Israel, as they sighed and as they cried and as they talked with God, God's response was that He heard, He remembered, He looked, and He had respect unto their cry. And God sent Moses and God sent Aaron. So the result of their prayer there at that time was that God called Moses. The people didn't call Moses. God knew where he was. God went and found him. God looked for him there on the backside of the desert as he was tending his father-in-law's sheep. God had the burning bush there. He was there and he called Moses that day. And that call lasted for Moses' lifetime. For those next 40 years, that as the children of Israel had that need, they cried to God, they prayed to God. God came down, God called a man, God sent Moses, God sent Aaron, and God called the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And God called them to change. They called upon God and God called them to change. And that's the thing about prayer, that we have to be willing to change also. We have to be willing to grow. By the way, or along the way, God changed some things in the nation of Israel too. And so God heard their prayer as they prayed for leadership. God guided them. But also God challenged them to change too along the way and along the journey. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. Prayer changes us. And I encourage you today in this exercise of prayer to follow Jesus and His teachings as He's calling us or commanding us to pray. And as we follow Him, He's going to change us eternally. Eternally. That as we grow and as we're challenged and as we're stretched and as we pray and as we talk to Him, we'll grow to be different people than we would have been before if we had not prayed. And I challenge you today, take these things to God in prayer. And I just want to encourage you to keep on praying. Jesus calls us to prayer. He commands us to pray. He reminds us to pray because God is good. And His promises are that everyone so doing receives from Him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we finish up this morning. I ask you to take a moment just to reflect back on Jesus' teachings today. His call is to ask, to seek, and to knock. That's His request. That's His command. That's His call. That's His teaching upon prayer. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I want to ask you this morning as we close up today, maybe to reflect back, think back upon the week. If you find yourself, as I do many times, thinking, wow, there went a day and I forgot to pray. There went some time and I forgot to pray. Pray to God. I encourage you. Ask God. Seek God. Knock at His office. Place your requests upon His desk. God hears, God knows, God understands, God feels your need. Father, today as we think about your words, I pray that you would plant them in our hearts deep within. And once again, you would challenge us to be involved in prayer in the busyness of our lives. Lord, we confess our sin of prayerlessness, our lack of prayer many times over many a day. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to look to your words again, to be challenged. And just renew us or refresh us in this call, this command that you have for us to lay our burdens upon you, to seek you. I pray for the need of this church, the need for a pastor. Lord, you know and you see and you hear. And so, God, we call upon you to supply the pastor that you would have them to have. And we ask you to meet this need. Lord, help us to exercise faith, to grow, to humble ourselves, to be ready to change and to be called to change and to grow more and more as we spend the time with you. Lord, we thank you for your words today. We thank you for this place that you've given, the time that you've given. We thank you for this church that you've started. It belongs to you. It is your church. And so once again, we come and we ask that you would send the shepherd, the pastor, the under shepherd that you'd have to be here. And we ask you to meet their needs and that you would answer their prayers. Lord, we thank you. We ask you today that you would strengthen us through your words. I pray that these would not be just something we listen to for an hour or so here this morning. But Lord, I pray that you would keep them turning over in our minds and in our meditations, that we'd think back on them and we'd be challenged to grow. Change us today by your work of your word and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we'll thank you for it. Thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for teaching us some things today. We praise you and we give this time back to you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.